Please pray with me. Dear Lord, pray that these words are not my words, that this message doesn't come from me, but it comes from you. It serves your purpose, gives you glory. And now may you help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive it, whatever it is you have for us. Pray this in your name. Amen. This week, we launch a new sermon series called James, Street Level Christianity. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through the book of James. Each week, James has five books in it, and each week we're going to do one chapter of the book. So I'm going to preach on James chapter 1 today, drawing out the main point, a major theme out of that chapter of the book of James. And Patty and I, as we preach this series, it's street-level Christianity in that we're really going to try to find words, ideas that really help us with hitting the rubber in the road. We want something that we can just take and chew on that can help us, that we can unpack and we can learn something and grow from, and maybe that'll stretch us, maybe that'll connect some truths to our everyday life. As we've just come from celebrating just the pinnacle of the Christian year and Easter and celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ and that wonderful gift and amazing story, now we get an opportunity to dive a little deeper into some concepts that I think will help to prove productive for us. This week, from James chapter 1, we're going to be talking about the construction zone. And this is something that I think we can all agree on. Maybe we all have struggled with to some level or another. But we all are under construction, aren't we? After all, Jesus died on a cross and was raised from the dead and assured us eternity of salvation in heaven with him. But yet we still have life to live here on earth. Here in the day-to-day realities of our life, sometimes they can get challenging. Sometimes they can get difficult. Sometimes they can overwhelm us. And so how do we navigate that? How do we get through that in a way that is beneficial for us, but also beneficial for Christ and what Christ is trying to accomplish in this world? The passage that I have for us today comes from James chapter 1, and I'm going to focus in on verses 2 through 4 and then 12 through 15. Hear now the word of God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Perseverance is a good thing. Perseverance is what we're after in this life. But perseverance doesn't just happen. When we have trials and tribulations, struggles, and the challenges that just happen, don't they? These challenges, every one of us can probably raise our hand and tell us about something that we're going through right now that's causing us sleepless nights or causing us tears of some sort. Some of us are going through things that are more challenging than others. We all have things that are weighing on us to some degree or another. And James is saying, when we can persevere, we can use that, whatever it is that's going on in our life, as an opportunity to cling to Christ, to put everything out there and allow him to bless us through it. It helps us persevere, which leads to many, many great things in our life. Let's go back. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mature and complete. not lacking anything. When we allow God to mold us and shape us, no matter what it is we're going through, we trust Him, we cling to that promise, and we persevere, then we are molded and shaped into the men and women that Christ wants us to be, that can be great for Him. After all works in progress. We're all right in the middle of something being worked on, using that as an opportunity to grow, to live into Christ. From Romans, Paul tells us in chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That leads to the question that many of us have asked, I'm sure, many times. In fact, many of us have probably read a book with this title. Why do bad things happen to good people? Isn't that kind of a perpetual question we get asked as Christians from people in the world or even of ourselves? Why do bad things happen to good people? What? Another way to ask that question from a faith perspective is, why does God give us things through which we need to persevere? Could it be that God is doing something with that? First off, I'd like to point out there are no good people. That's why Jesus had to come in the first place, right? That's why Jesus had to hang up there on the cross, because each and every one of us were dead, beyond hope. We were sin and wrecked by it, broken by it. For all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us have dealt with the ramifications of our brokenness. There are no good people. But let me point out that without bad things, there can't be good things. You know, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Bad things just happen. You know, we make bad choices and bad things happen. And sometimes we make bad choices that causes bad things to happen to other people. People we love, people we care about. But the blessing is that God doesn't waste any of that. God uses every brokenness, every moment of hardship and hurt and pain, and He redeems it because He causes something good to come out of it. If there were no bad things, nothing bad ever happened to anybody, we would know nothing of compassion. We would know nothing of a healing touch. We would know nothing of a sacrifice that somebody makes on our behalf. Bad things happen in the world, and it's kind of the way it is. But those bad things enable Christ to do awesome and amazing things in our lives. We're all being worked on. We're all in a process of being constructed. How many of us see this and that looks familiar? If you live in Carmel, I think this probably looks familiar. Because we've only lived here a year and a half, and man, every road in this town has been constructed or reconstructed in the last few years. Is anybody sick of it yet? Anybody? I'm sick of it. You can't get anywhere without running into some sort of construction. It's getting better. I'll admit that. But it is a challenge. And we see this. Everywhere we go, we see red barrels or orange barrels and flags and construction workers. And it's easy for us to say, man, why? It's such a pain. It's taking me 45 minutes to go 2 miles. This shouldn't be the case. I'm late for work again. But if we don't have this, if guys aren't out there constructing and tying up traffic and wrecking the landscape, then we don't have the benefit one day of an awesome road system. I don't know how many, this is the land of roundabouts. I don't know how many are there, like 80 roundabouts in this? Every one of those had to be built at one point or another. And I think there's supposed to be, what, 20 or 30 more already on the schedule? We're up for more of this. But it has to happen, right? Or else we don't get the benefit of being able to get to our destination easily with a lower chance of traffic accidents. And it looks good, doesn't it? It's a beautiful. The engineers that have built this have done a great job. We benefit from that now. But in the middle of it, we wonder what the point is. The same is true for us. God is working on us right now. He's breaking down some walls or repositioning the foundation or tearing down a facade in our hearts, in our spirits. Because he has plans to erect and put up a stronger foundation and taller walls and a more beautiful facade. Because he wants us to grow and to mature into the people he wants us to be. Life is full of challenges and trials and tribulations. And God has a purpose for it. He doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just let us flounder in pain and anguish because we're getting torn up. He comes alongside us, working through that to build us up, because Jesus wants us to need him. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we need Jesus? Is it possible that whenever we have a challenge in our life, whether it's a strained relationship or an illness of some sort, or maybe it's a financial hardship or whatever it might be, does that cause us to say to God, to Jesus, Lord, I need help, to spend more time on your knees in prayer, to spend more time reading your scripture or meditating on the word of God? That's a good thing, isn't it? When life is good and things are great and we're on that mountaintop and everything's going our way, we as humans tend to not pay attention to God. Things are going, we got it under control. We're good. We're spending every weekend at the beach or whatever. Let me ask you this. If you had a child, let's say a college student, or maybe your one of your kids has just grown up and moved out and gotten a job and they've got their own money. But typically, the only time they ever call, the only time they ever stop by the house, the only time they ever send you a text is when they need something, when they have a financial need. They need money. And I'm sure some of you probably have had kids that like this. They're at college, you only hear, phone only rings when they need money. What if they never ever called, never ever picked up the phone, never ever stopped by, never ever came home unless they had a financial need? And the phone would ring and you say, oh, let me get my checkbook out. But at least I get a chance to talk to my kids for a little while. If, let's say, your kids were doing well, they had good jobs, and they had all the money they needed, and you never heard from them. 2-3 years go by, and you never hear a single word from your kids. How many of us would wish and pray and hope that our kids lose their job? That our kids go bankrupt, because then they'd need money, then they'd be forced to pick up a phone and call us. You would, wouldn't you? It's kind of seems kind of a mean thing. You don't want to wish harm on your kids, but if that's the only way you can get them to call you, to stop by and give you a hug, is for them to need money, you'd wish them to go bankrupt. Am I right? No? Well, that's what God thinks too. If we only come to God when we're having a hard time, if we only get down on our knees and pray when things are rough, or when we have a need or a hardship, or we need a healing hug from our Father, then he's going to make sure that we have those occasionally. Because it's only then that we really can connect with God. And when we do reach out to God during times of trouble, during difficult times, and we receive that love, and we receive that whatever it is that we needed, we're more likely then to be mindful of that love and the connection when things are good. Another passage that I have for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I am weak, then I am strong. It's through our weaknesses that God's power is made powerful. Many of you know that I have Tourette syndrome. I've shared that before. And you may not realize that my childhood was terrible. I mean, it was miserable. I really had a hard time growing up. In fact, junior high was the worst time of my life. And probably many of us could say that. Why do we have junior high? Can we pass a petition to those who make and just abolish junior high? I think that would make society a lot better if we could just accomplish that one thing. But junior high was terrible. I got picked on. I got bullied. I got sent to the office every day hyperventilating. It was a rough time growing up with Tourette syndrome. And like Paul would say in this in the previous verses to this passage, that in some ways that was the thorn in my flesh. That was the thing that made me cling to God. That was the thing that I had to have to anchor me to Christ. And while I wouldn't wish it on anybody, there's a reasonable chance that our kids could have it when they get a little bit older. I pray that's not the case, because I don't want anybody to have to do that, to go through that. But now I'm almost 42 years old, and I think it was a blessing. Growing up with Tourette syndrome, it taught me a lot. And God was able to use that to help me persevere, to build character in me, so that now I'm equipped, although I'm still growing, called and equipped to be a pastor and to preach and to serve in this way. All of us have trials and tribulations. All of us have things that are difficult, that works to break us. But when we can persevere through the power of Jesus, then God can use that to mold us, shape us, and get us where He wants us to be. Not just individually, but as a congregation, when we're all growing and being molded and shaped and recognize together that we are works in progress. And we're working together to help each other. That's where the strength of a community comes. And that's where the power of God can really transform and revolutionize a whole community and a whole world.